The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
If you want to get any advice from Pete Wedderburn, otherwise known as Pete the Vet, who is with us. Pete, I want to talk to you about birds as pets, because we were talking about avian flu and the challenge that for backyard poultry keepers it's particularly challenging. Setting all that aside, do birds make good pets?
Well, I would see birds and poultry is very different. Poultry have we keep them in areas where there's more sort of sitting down or perching area and scratching around the ground areas, whereas birds live in aviaries, like other birds, like pet birds, like budgies, finches, parrots. They live in more sort of cages where they're more in the air all the time. So it's a whole different thing.
I get the sense that the latter group, the parrot, budgie, finch end of the spectrum, I always think they're high strung. Am I wrong?
I don't think they're particularly highly strung. I mean, I think every species of animal has its own specific needs. And if you get those wrong, you can get into difficulties. But I think if you do your research properly and source the birds from the right place where they've really good health background, then they can make great pets. You do need to do your research, though. Plenty of problems happen because people do it wrongly. They get themselves into a pickle because they have a type of bird they can't actually look after properly. And as a vet, most of the issues that you see with pet birds are due to poor husbandry, which is just education, really.
Now, a couple of questions coming in. Hi, Pete. I'm thinking of getting a little Italian greyhound. Is there any other kind of Italian greyhound? I'm wondering if it'll be hard to train him. I'm no spring chicken.
I love Italian greyhounds. They kind of seem to be an up-and-coming breed. And that's because they are adorable. They're big eyes and they're very sort of delicate expressions. They seem
and the long, spindly legs.
They are just gorgeous. And so I think they're really good pets, as much as any dog. I think you, again...
Trainable? Are they trainable?
Very intelligent, very smart dogs. You do need to, again, choose very carefully. And I can't say this often enough. The important thing with any dog is you buy one or get one from a good breeder and get one which has been really well socialized from very early on in life so that you have an adult dog which is calm and relaxed and doesn't get phased or agitated when they have new experiences. I mean, they are sensitive dogs, so perhaps not the best pet for a boisterous young family. Do you know that they're more dogs, I think, which are good one-to-one with people. So if you're an older person, I think that'd be a fabulous first dog.
Now, on the other end of the temperament spectrum, a text to say, and I think this will ring a bell with anybody with either a Golden Retriever or a Labrador, our dog is a Goldador, a Lab and Golden Retriever mix. We got her when she was a puppy from a family who said she kept knocking over their children and they couldn't cope. We brought her to puppy training classes. They made her crazy hyperactive, pulling on lead, jumping on people, etc. She jumps on people and still at 2 years old, knocks over children, most recently our friend's toddler. How do we train her? We've tried getting her to sit when we come home to make sure we aren't making her jump. She's a happy, crazy dog. Tail never stops wagging. She just doesn't know her size. What do we do?
Oh, that's difficult. Because to some extent you're talking about inherent characteristics of that dog. As in, it's a big dog. It's got a very busy, active mind. And the only answer here is training the dog. Consistent training, and you can get lots of really good training advice online. One of my favorite websites is called careforreactivedogs.com. careforreactivedogs.com. And if you've any dog that's big and bouncy and that gets really excited when it sees new things, it's a great website, because the basic thing is you have to know what training is about. You need to understand it properly. Too many people just end up shouting, sit, or shouting the animal's name. Shit, stop, sit. No, all those kind of things. That gets you nowhere. They're not human. They don't understand the actual words that you're saying. So it's about training, and that's about understanding how to train dogs. So if you go to that website, you'll get taken through the whole process of exactly how you do that.
Now, can I ask a subsidiary to this? To what extent is exercise important in this? Because do you remember there was that brief fad where everybody was watching Caesar Milan? I always thought it was interesting that at the end of the episode, when the dog was now biddable, it was sort of mentioned sotto voce that Caesar had just walked it for 6 hours up a mountain. I was like, of course it's biddable. It's knackered.
I think exercise is key. And I've heard behaviourists say that any dog should have half an hour twice a day of good exercise. And that's a really good basic thing. So at least the element of pent-up curiosity and energy that dogs have is used up to some extent. Also, by the way, mental exercise is also important. So as well as your half an hour twice a day physical exercise, 15 minutes through the day, 15 minutes of specifically training your dog, whether you're just doing basic training exercise or whether you're getting into something more complicated like clicker training, all of these things sound complex, but once you delve into them, they're not that complicated. And the mental energy that dogs use up makes them feel much more settled and much more likely to relax afterwards.
Can I ask another one on that? One of the things that I've always found is that it is very difficult to train a dog not to do something. It's much easier to train them to do something else.
That's a really good point. So, you know, rather than saying stop at the top of your voice, you can give a command which a dog will then just do. And by doing the command, they will indeed stop.
So what if we took this one where the dog is jumping on everybody that comes in the door, if you put a bed in the hall and got it, could you train it into the habit that when the doorbell rings, you get in the bed and you get a treat?
That's a really, you must have been doing some research there, because that's exactly what a good idea is.
I once had a dog along the lines of this and watched a lot of people get knocked over. Quick one, how do I curtail the amount of constant shedding from my pug? Are pugs sheddy dogs?
Not particularly, but they've got short coat and they lose their coat often continually. Generally, in our society, because we live in centrally heated houses, it means that dogs don't tend to molt in the spring and molt in the autumn. Instead of that, but they used to do that, if you like, to have a summer coat, they lose and they get a winter coat.
It was seasonal with temperature.
That was very much it. But nowadays, it's constant light and constant heat all year round. So a lot of dogs do shed all year round. There is no good way of stopping a dog from molting. I wish I could find that answer, but I haven't got it yet. But what I would say is regular brushing your dog every day, and probably bathing your dog maybe once every 2 weeks. That's a kind of simple thing to do. And make sure that the skin and coat quality is absolutely top notch. Do that by giving them a daily omega-3 supplement. It just makes the skin a bit more glossy and smooth and less likely to be, less likely to be unhealthy, really, is the main thing. Yeah.
Pete, thank you very much. Pete Wedderburn, Pete the Vet.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.